4. Howard Schultz, the man who built Starbucks into a colossus, isn't so different from Travis in some ways. He grew up in a public housing project in Brooklyn, sharing a 2-bedroom apartment with his parents and 2 siblings. When he was 7 years old, Schultz's father broke his ankle and lost his job driving a diaper truck. That was all it took to throw the family into crisis. His father, after his ankle healed, began cycling through a series of lower-paying jobs. "My dad never found his way," Schultz told me. "I saw his self-esteem get battered. I felt like there was so much more he could have accomplished." Schultz's school was a wild, overcrowded place with asphalt playgrounds and kids playing football, basketball, softball, punchball, slapball, and any other game they could devise. If your team lost, it could take an hour to get another turn. So Schultz made sure his team always won, no matter the cost. He would come home with bloody scrapes on his elbows and knees, which his mother would gently rinse with a wet cloth. "You don't quit," she told him. His competitiveness earned him a college football scholarship — he broke his jaw and never played a game — a communications degree, and eventually a job as a Xerox salesman in New York City. He'd wake up every morning, go to a new Midtown office building, take the elevator to the top floor, and go door to door, politely inquiring if anyone was interested in toner or copy machines. Then he'd ride the elevator down one floor and start all over again. By the early 1980s, Schultz was working for a plastics manufacturer when he noticed that a little-known retailer in Seattle was ordering an inordinate number of coffee drip cones. Schultz flew out and fell in love with the company. 2 years later, when he heard that Starbucks, then just 6 stores, was for sale, he asked everyone he knew for money and bought it. That was 1987. Within 3 years, there were 84 stores. Within 6 years, more than 1,000. Today, there are 17,000 stores in more than 50 countries. Why did Schultz turn out so different from all the other kids on that playground? Some of his old classmates are today cops and firemen in Brooklyn. Others are in prison. Schultz is worth more than $1 billion. He's been heralded as one of the greatest CEOs of the 20th century. Where did he find the determination, the willpower, to climb from a housing project to a private jet? "I don't really know," he told me. "My mom always said, 'You're going to be the first person to go to college. You're going to be a professional. You're going to make us all proud.' She would ask these little questions: 'How are you going to study tonight? What are you going to do tomorrow? How do you know you're ready for your test?' It trained me to set goals. "I've been really lucky," he said, "and I really, genuinely believe that if you tell people that they have what it takes to succeed, they'll prove you right." Schultz's focus on employee training and customer service made Starbucks into one of the most successful companies in the world. For years, he was personally involved in almost every aspect of how the company was run. In 2000, exhausted, he handed over day-to-day operations to other executives, at which point Starbucks began to stumble. Within a few years, customers were complaining about the quality of the drinks and customer service. Executives, focused on a frantic expansion, often ignored the complaints. Employees grew unhappy. Surveys indicated people were starting to equate Starbucks with tepid coffee and empty smiles. So Schultz stepped back into the chief executive position in 2008. Among his priorities was restructuring the company's training program to renew its focus on a variety of issues, including bolstering employees, or partners in Starbucks lingo, willpower, and self-confidence. "We had to start earning customer and partner trust again," Schultz told me. At about the same time, a new wave of studies was appearing that looked at the science of willpower in a slightly different way. Researchers had noticed that some people, like Travis, were able to create willpower habits relatively easily. Others, however, struggled, no matter how much training and support they received. What was causing the difference?